1 week from today.
Oh, thank God. Just thank God.
I just...
Wait, are you sick of it now?
You know what?
Because you said yesterday...
Here's what happened. So I'm at my son's Little League game last night, right?
All right, yeah.
And there's probably like five people. Hey, you know what the Cardinals are going to do? Like, no. Like, what do you think? Murray or Rosen or... what? I go to the gym. I go for a workout in the morning. Got my headphones on. This guy comes right up to me. I got my headphones on. I'm like, okay, yeah? What are the Cardinals going to do? They take a Murray? Like, I just got to know. I know you know. I don't know. No, you always know. I know you know. I'm like, I don't know.
So what you need to do is have a shirt made up that says,
I don't know.
I do not know what the Cardinals are doing at number one.
I don't know what they're doing at number one.
And then you need to wear it when you go out. I do not know what the Cardinals are doing at number one.
Part frustration that it's just like, I just want it to be over. It's fascinating. The Rosen stuff today is fascinating. The Grand Canyon visit, the Cardinals video, like, this is all fascinating. But like, I want to know now. I just want to know. Like, you know, I need to know.
Settle in.
Is it a boy or is it a girl? I don't want to wait till the baby's born. I just want to know now.
I want to paint the room.
I want
to buy some clothes.
I want to pick out a name. Yes. Is it a boy or is it a girl? Tell me. What does the ultrasound show?
Did you find out with your kids whether it was a boy or a girl?
No.
No, you didn't. Oh,
I don't even know if they had that technology back then.
It wasn't that long ago.
I don't think they did.
It wasn't that long ago.
I'm serious. 25 years ago?
Yeah. We found out with Jake. He was born in 97. They had the technology. They said, see that right there? You're having a boy. Yeah, they knew. They had the technology. I promise you. Anyway, a week from today is the NFL draft, and people bugging Gambo at the gym notwithstanding, we won't know for sure for another week, but that will not stop. One thing for certain, I'm looking forward to the end of the mock drafts. I've officially kind of reached my saturation level of mock drafts, but that being said, the latest one that came out today from Kiper and McShay, it's like a dueling mock draft. So McShay goes first, he takes this guy, then it's Kiper, then it's McShay, then it's Kiper, and they go back and forth. So, okay, let's see what they do when they're kind of going head-to-head. Todd McShay had the first pick, and picking on behalf of the Arizona Cardinals, he took Kyler Murray, number one overall. No big surprise, right?
Okay.
What we were curious about, though, were the five names that you had mentioned about, it was late last week or early
this. Five players who... the Cardinals are interested in.
Not the Gambo 5. We're not calling that just yet.
No, because I can't really do the Gambo 5 until after the first round is over.
Right.
I never do the second round Gambo 5 until after the first round is over, because some of the guys that I'm giving you now are not going to be on that list. They will be drafted.
So it was with that kind of curiosity that we took a look at where these five names fell on this dueling mock draft.
Okay.
Chris Lindstrom, the offensive lineman, went number 12 to the Green Bay Packers.
12th overall.
12th overall. The guard out of Boston College.
Yeah.
Went number 12, and that was a Kiper pick. Kiper pick Lindstrom, number 12 to the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
Cody Ford, the tackle with Oklahoma.
Yes.
Went 21 to Seattle.
Okay. So that's why I said when I gave you a list of five players that the Cardinals were very interested in with their second round pick, these are all players that are going to be ranked on their board, you know, probably somewhere between, you know, 10 and 30. And one of these guys is going to fall to them.
Being described as the offensive lineman who I think is the most NFL ready for me all the way at the back of the first round, McShay has the LA Rams taking Garrett Bradbury, who was one of your five names, number 31 overall.
Yes, he is a center. A plug and play guy that they say 10 years he's gonna be great for 10 years. So there's, once you get to that range, now we're close. Close. Garrett Bradbury, the NC State center/guard, is on the list.
They have the Cardinals taking, and this is interesting, and this is McShay making the pick at number 33, and then we'll get to the last two of the names that you presented. They've got the Cardinals taking the cornerback out of Temple, Rock Ya-Sin, with the number 33 overall pick.
I love the name. Rock Ya-Sin. That's a great name.
We will rock ya.
We will rock ya sin. Rock ya sin. Not a name that I have for the second round right now.
Two other names that you do have on your list.
Yes.
N'Keal Harry, wide receiver, Arizona State University to the Buffalo Bills at number 40. Mel Kiper made that pick.
The thing I could tell you initially, and when we, you know, about 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago, I did not think that N'Keal Harry would be in play for the Cardinals because I didn't think he would be a top 30 player on their board. But my understanding is now that the Cardinals will have him as one of the four best receivers on their board, either third or fourth. They will probably only have two or three wide receivers that they like more than N'Keal Harry. So N'Keal Harry is a guy that is, you know, definitely they have interest in him. I'm not saying they're going to take him, but he is in play with that 33rd pick because he's a top four receiver on their board.
And finally, the last player of the five that you had identified there was at least some interest in, A.J. Brown,
wide receiver out of Ole Miss.
Going number 43 to the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, now again, different teams will have him rated differently. I'm sure the Cardinals have him rated. A.J. Brown is a guy in their top 30, 32. I'm sure that he's rated that high. Now, McShay's got him at 43. Some teams may have him 30 to 40. Some teams may have him 40 to 50. The Cardinals will not have A.J. Brown rated in the 40 to 50 range, or they'll have him somewhere in that, probably somewhere in that 22 to 32 range he'll be rated, because he is a guy that they are looking at as a possibility with their second round pick.
Yeah, I understand best player available. I understand how the cliche goes, but we also know that if you've got two players rated similarly, that often you go with a position of need over best player available because the grades might not be that far off. I mean, unless, and I know this is just a mock draft, so I'm not going to give it a whole lot of credence or anything, but unless you've got a cornerback just rated heads and tails better than everybody else on the board at that moment, I have a hard time seeing the Cardinals taking a cornerback.
Not if they just signed Robert Alford to a 3-year deal.
Unless the grade on him is just so great he cannot be ignored, I just can't imagine they would go corner at number 33 and not one of their other needs. I understand best player available and all that, but I would have to think that other players would be close enough in grade that you would go with more of a need at 33 than you would something
well,
else.
Well, if you look at the players that I have them concentrating on in the second round, three are offensive linemen, two are wide receivers.
Yes.
So
what's your needs?
Their needs.
What's your needs?
Three offensive linemen and two wide receivers. Now there could be a defensive player there. I mean, you know, and again, this will change and will probably give you a new Gambo 5. Like the real one is, if you remember, we always do it the night after the first round. Then I come up with five new names and we have them out there in the morning before the draft. Now, last year, we nailed it. We nailed Christian Kirk. We actually nailed Christian Kirk, 2 months before the draft. The year before, Buda Baker, we nailed that as the second round pick, you know. So I don't have a name right now that I, you know, 2 years ago I had Buda Baker, and we had it a long time before the draft. And last year, Christian Kirk. I don't have a name a long time before the draft right now. I just have a bunch of names, five names that I know they're concentrating on. And again, the night of the draft, I'll put in some extra work, a little overtime, and we'll come up with five names and be pretty sure that they're going to draft one of those guys with that pick.
This dueling mock, by the way, did not allow for any projected trades. So if you're looking at such a thing, the Giants, they have Dwayne Haskins going to the Giants at number 6. They have Drew Locke going to Miami at number 13.
How about Daniel Jones?
They have Daniel Jones going to the New England Patriots at number 32.
As I reported a couple of weeks ago, the Cardinals worked out Daniel Jones. So for people that don't know that, they brought him in. He was one of their 30 visits. They had the Duke quarterback in here. Now, whether that's comparing him to Murray or for whatever reason, I know we were all a little taken aback by that, but they did bring in Daniel Jones, the Duke kid, for a visit. He did visit here. That doesn't mean they're taking him, but they obviously picked his brains on a lot of things and had him in as one of their 30.
Of course, the dream scenario is number one or number two, but if the Phoenix Suns land the third overall pick, what happens if the team already with a point guard is drafting in front of them? We've got kind of an answer to that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
right.
I'm going to do it. Don't all make right. me do it. I'm going to do it.
Okay, here you go.
Hey, I got the number two pick.
Did you? All right, Suns take John Morant with the number two pick.
I did the Sim Lottery on Tankathon.com.
Mm-hmm.
The Chicago Bulls got the number one pick. The Phoenix Suns got the number two pick in the draft. And the Washington Wizards got number three. Oh, the New York Knicks. There's no way this is going to happen. New York dropped all the way to fifth. There's no way.
Well,
this
is going to be the frozen envelope theory?
Oh, I totally think this is going to be the frozen envelope. Magnetized ping pong balls. However they can pull this off, man.
Frozen envelope.
Yep.
Patrick Ewing.
I would be just stunned.
Pick the really cold one. It's frozen.
And you'll be able to feel it in there.
It's hard and frozen. That's the envelope you want to pick.
Pretty much every time we talk Suns basketball between now and... Oh, they've even got a countdown here to the NBA Draft Lottery on Tankathon.com. 26 days, 2 hours, 12 minutes, and 27
to
seconds.
To the Draft 26, Lottery.
To the Draft Lottery.
Okay.
Which is May 14th. Yeah, May 14th. So every time we talk Phoenix Suns basketball, I might have to take a spin on the wheel on
take a look at that
simulated lottery and see what I come up with. Today I came up with number two. Now, if they end up number two, that's very advantageous. Very simple.
Zion at one, Ja Morant at two. Anything from three to seven could be. They could trade down. They could trade out. There's also the one possibility we discussed the other day that a team that has a point guard and ends up with the number two pick could possibly trade with the Suns, that the Suns could go to that team and say, listen, we'll trade you our number four pick, our number five pick, our number six pick, and we'll give you this so we could move up to number two, and that way we could go get Ja Morant. Because if you're a team that has Trae Young, you're not going to take Ja Morant and play him with Trae Young. You're very unlikely to do that. There was some thought I had said that Cleveland too. But my understanding now is that if Cleveland did get the number two pick, they would take Ja Morant, but that they would also put Colin Sexton on the trade block. So a year after getting their point guard, they would take another point guard.
Oh, they'd be like the
Cardinals.
The Arizona Cardinals with the quarterback spot.
So 1 year after drafting their franchise point guard.
Is Colin Sexton going to go to the Grand Canyon and shoot a video in which he calls the speculation annoying?
Yes.
But
if Cleveland gets the number two pick, my understanding is that they would highly consider taking Ja Morant and trading Colin Sexton. So they would trade him and keep Ja Morant. Now,
So if we're to believe that, and I have no reason not to, if we're to believe that, then the team that we are truly rooting to finish second in this draft lottery, if it's not the Suns, is the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to trade Trae Young.
No.
They're very happy with Trae Young, obviously. So the team, if it's not the Suns at number two, the team that you must root for, if you believe they would take Ja and trade Colin Sexton talk, it's not the Cavs, it is the Atlanta Hawks.
And it gives you a chance that they still could take RJ Barrett, you know, and say, listen, we don't want to lose RJ Barrett. We have him rated, but we don't want to go to five or six or seven and not get RJ Barrett. We want him. So we're going to stay at two and take him. And then you could talk to the team at number three. But if they need a point guard, they're going to take Ja Morant. So, Cleveland is the one team, I think, if they ended up with two, they would take Ja, even though they have a point guard. I don't think Atlanta would. The Suns are still going to look for a veteran point guard. I brought up a couple of names, including Corey Joseph, who's a guy that they're going to look at. But they
Darren
would love
Collison.
To. Darren Collison's another one. TJ McConnell. They'll look at veteran point guards that they could get. But they would love to have a veteran point guard and Ja Morant. And then go through it with those two guys. Those would be their main guys, you know, going forward. And then you could transition over from whoever the veteran point guard is to Ja Morant at a certain point in the season or maybe next season. But yeah, if you get one or two, they're taking Zion or Ja. If they get three, four, five, six, seven, I mean, they could trade out of that altogether, or they could move down. Or they could try to move up to two if that team at two. The interesting thing would be what would happen if Atlanta gets one, they're taking Zion. So even with so you can't have them get one.
Right.
Because if they got the point guard, they're going to take Zion. So there's only one scenario where you could move up to get John. I think that's Atlanta if they end up with the number two pick.
Funny. I think you could almost make the case that like everything feels kind of in flux with the Cardinals. What are they going to do with the number one pick? What are they going to do with Rosen? What are they going to take Nick Bosa? Everything seems kind of up in the air until a week from. Doesn't it even feel like the Suns' plans are even more up in the air until we at least know the order of the draft?
Sure.
I mean, it's hard to with any kind of degree of accuracy. We can throw a bunch of names out there,
But knowing for sure what they're going to do or what they want to do depends very heavily on the results of what happens in that draft lottery.
Absolutely.
Very, very. Like, everything's up in the air with what they want to do until they know that pick.
You know, and the reality is if they don't get one or two, it's very, very possible that they can end up with another wing, which is why I said that I think they're going to look to move one or two of their wings. I think they'll look to move one or two of the wings that they have. And it's very possible that if they don't make a trade, they could end up with another wing. I mean, you could end up with Hunter. You could end up with one of those guys that play wing, and you've got enough wings already. So I do think they're going to move one. They're not going to keep the four wings. I highly doubt they're going to keep the four wings. I could see them moving one, even two of their wing players via trade. I could see that.
One of the names that has been prominently mentioned as a guy the Suns could target, it was a name you brought up the other day, Julius Randle. I know there was a national website that was kind of projecting potential landing spots for Julius Randle, and the Suns were mentioned as a possible destination for him in free agency.
Yeah, Hoops Hype had it, talking about Julius Randle. I mean, he's a good player. I mean, he's a young player, too, so he fits in with your timeline. And they said, you know, here's the four most interesting landing spots for him. They said the Mavericks, the Nets, the New Orleans Pelicans, and then the Phoenix Suns as a team. And they say, you know, as a young up-and-coming team that's hungry to make a legit jump next season, Phoenix could be a logical destination for Randle. They have a hole to fill at power forward for one, and Randle could be an interesting fit next to DeAndre Ayton. I think that there's two power forwards that I've mentioned that makes sense. One is Thaddeus Young. The other is Julius Randle. You got to get a power forward. Tobias Harris, I've talked about him before, but I just don't think he's getting out of Philly. I just don't think that he's going to get out. And if you put the restricted offer in, so as much as they may like him, I just don't think they're going to be able to get him.
There were three playoff games last night. Milwaukee just throttled the Pistons again. Eric Bledsoe was their leading scorer with 27 points. Playoff Kyrie showed up last night as the Celtics beat Indiana 99-91 to go up two games to none there.
And that's what scares you about Boston. Like, they've got, they have the ability to beat anybody. They can beat anybody.
Yeah. He had 37, 6, and 7 assists last night in that win. But the game that caught everybody's attention, Houston just throttled the Utah Jazz again last night and are looking very much like a team that could really threaten Golden State this year. Now, I still believe Golden State's going to win it, but Houston is off to a terrific start so far this postseason.
Some people think they're even better than they were last year. They've gone 20-5 since the All-Star break. I mean, they are just a night. The Jazz have been playing so well, too, since the break. 18-7. They were really killing a lot of teams, but the Rockets are just absolutely destroying them. They look unstoppable right now. Harden is killing it. He had 32 points on 24 shots, 6 of 13 from the three. He had 13 rebounds, 10 assists, just triple-double and just dominated the entire game. They look great. And, you know, and it's the next round that they would get Golden State. So it's not like you're going to wait for the Western Conference Finals. I mean, next round, you're going to have Houston and Golden State in the next round.
And I'll tell you what, the minute that happens, that will affect the next nugget that we're going to pass along in this NBA segment. Playoff TV ratings are down 31%.
Yeah.
You give me Golden State and Houston in round two, I promise we'll fix that right quick.
I mean, no Lakers and LeBron.
Sure, of course.
You know, major market like the Knicks,
I think it has everything to do with it, doesn't it?
Of course. I mean, LeBron and the Lakers not being in it is a big factor. I mean, think about it. You have no L.A. The Lakers aren't in. You got the Clippers, but the Lakers aren't in. The Knicks aren't in. Chicago. You've got major, major markets that aren't in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think, for the most part, out of these first, I've usually described it as like the riffraff, you know, the first round of the NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
And I it feels like this year more than ever. I know my interest level, and I can only speak for myself on this one. My interest level in the NBA playoffs goes way up when we get in the second round, because I do feel like we've kind of cleared out the riffraff a little bit.
Yeah,
some of the teams
a little bit. Nothing
got
against
into the playoffs with a 41-41 record like
sure.
Detroit did. Nothing against those teams, but I mean, let's be honest. If we start talking about a Final Four in the East, if we get there of Toronto,
Milwaukee,
and Boston, and Milwaukee, you know, and Philly. Okay, now you have my attention. Houston versus Golden State in the second round of the playoffs. Now you have my attention.
Yeah. You're not interested in the 42-40 Mavs or the 41-41 Pistons. I mean, I get it.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the only series that I would say I'm genuinely interested in so far is Portland-OKC, because I think those two teams are pretty even. Okay, that's the only one that's really grabbed me so far.
Yeah, and Portland's won both of those games, so Yeah, they look good.
Yeah.
I mean, I think those teams are both really good. I don't know if they could beat Golden State, but I think they could definitely challenge.
Out of all the Cardinals' possibilities with the number one pick, hate to say it, but it's the truth, he would be the most boring decision out of all of them. He could also be the best decision out of all of them. That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Just as there was a couple of days ago a story in Sports Illustrated about Kyler Murray, his background, his beliefs, his decision, choice that he made, football over baseball, and the role of his parents, and in particular his dad on his athletic career, kind of a deep dive into Kyler Murray. And we talked about that a lot a couple of days ago. There was also a deep dive on Sports Illustrated, and just saw it today, as a matter of fact, on the other player that the Cardinals could potentially take number one overall in this draft, and that's Nick Bosa, the defensive end out of Ohio State, who missed most of the year with that groin core injury and kind of shut himself down for the rest of the year so he could focus on going to the NFL. And it was, just like the Murray piece, very in-depth, very detailed about his training regimen and what he's done to get back to this point and how he made the decision and how he felt when he got hurt. And there's one thing that's very clear throughout this piece is that he is one bad dude.
He's an alpha male.
Big time.
He's an alpha male. He is going to be one hell of a football player. And the injuries, while they're a slight concern, of course, are not something that's going to detract, you know, the Cardinals from taking him. And he's the consensus best player in the draft. I mean, he is. He's like, who's the best player in the draft? Nick Bosa. He's the best player in the draft. And you know what I like about drafting a pass rusher, because of Chandler Jones's age, you could bring in Nick Bosa and he could team with Chandler Jones for the next 2 years. And when Chandler's no longer capable of double digit sacks as he gets up there in age, then you've got a young Nick Bosa. That pass rushers are just you have to have them.
Of course.
You have to have pass rushers. And if you don't have pass rushers, it's hard to win in the NFL.
In my opinion, it's the second most important thing to have on your
roster. After quarterback.
After quarterback.
You got to have a pass rusher.
Guys who can get after the quarterback is before cornerback, before left tackle. It's the second most important thing for you to have on your roster. Guys who can get after the quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, this is a family. I mean, John Bosa was the first round pick of the Dolphins in 1987. Joey was drafted third overall in 2016 by the Chargers. Nick's going to be a top two pick. This is a boring pick because of all the Kyler Murray speculation. Like, it's boring. Like, it's going to be like, we had Nick Bosa. Like, it's a boring pick. It may be a great pick, but it's a boring pick. It is. You're going to get up there, and when the Cardinals are on the clock, and if nobody really knows what they're going to do at that time, you're going to be expecting this. The Cardinals have traded this, and they've traded that. The Cardinals traded the number one pick, and they picked up 4 and 27 in the first round of the next year, and the second round of the next year, and the third round of this year. And be like, oh, my God, what did they just get? Or they took Kyler Murray. Oh, my God, what are they gonna do, get for Rosen? And then, yeah, the Cardinals take Nick Bosa. Huh. Okay.
Yeah, I'm laughing because I think that's very similar to what it's going to sound like.
I could go to Just Sports and get his jersey.
Okay.
Probably going to be pretty good.
It'd be boring.
It's boring.
But at the end of the, okay, I've made this comparison before. You know what else is boring? Broccoli is boring. It's really good for you too.
Yes.
It's really good for you.
Sure.
To when you make your plate of dinner, If 50-60% of what is on your plate is broccoli, you're doing real well.
Doing good.
You're doing great.
I like broccoli.
Broccoli is boring. All right. It is. It's just a boring old vegetable, and no. But it's also an essential part of what you should be eating. And this is not just the 30-10 weight loss for life guy and me coming out. It's essential for good health. Pass rushers like Nick Bosa, it might be a boring selection. It might, the Cardinals Nation might go, oh man, that's exactly. And that would be a crappy way for his career with the Cardinals to start, wouldn't it? Crappy way for him to be the number one overall pick. Hey, welcome to town, Nick. Sorry you're not Kyler. Otherwise, everybody really excited you're here. But, you know, hey, we appreciate you being here. Thanks for showing up. And we know you're going
to
be awesome.
He's not going to win because if he goes to San Francisco, they're going to bring up all his old tweets. They're not going to like him in San Francisco. And here they're going to be like, well, we really wanted Kyler.
Right. If only we could if only we could resurrect the late great Cotton Fitzsimmons, and he could explain
the
to
Dan
the crowd,
Marley thing.
You folks are booing him right now, but I'm telling you, you're gonna love Nick Bosa. You're gonna love this kid. He's gonna. It's the best Cotton.
Listen,
I've got.
Here's what you do. If he gets drafted, just play the song. If you can't be with the one you love, then love the one you're with. Lil Crosby, Stills, and Nash. If you can't be with the one you love,
make anybody feel
love
any
the
better.
One you're with.
Really
you think- love Kyler Murray, but you can't be with Kyler Murray because but love Nick Bosa because he's the one you're with.
I do wonder, truly, and that's okay. The Cardinals don't play that song, but Jordan's scrambling for it right now. Cardinals don't play.
Lil Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
I do wonder, is disappointed the right word? Would Cardinal fans be disappointed?
Oh, that's a great question. That's
if
a really
take
good question.
Bosa? I mean, bored, I'll give you. Yes, it's a boring pick. Not
debatable.
The answer's not everybody. I guarantee you there's people out there that would be like, that's a great pick. They got to take,
you know, they kept Rosen. He's their quarterback. They're not switching. Rosen will have a big improvement in his second year, and I got a hell of a pass rush. I got the best player available in the draft. I do think that it's boring, but I do, and I don't know what the percentage is, but I think there's a lot of Cardinal fans will be like, okay, that's a really good pick. It's a really good pick. Just got the best pass rush in the whole draft.
I think more than 50% of Cardinal fans would be bored by that pick. But certainly less than 50% of Cardinal fans would be disappointed by that pick. There'd be some.
Right.
There are 10%, 20%, I don't know. There'd be some that would be disappointed by that. But not, I think at the end of the day, you'd go, okay, in retrospect, Rosen's great bargain. He's going to get better under Cliff Kingsbury. He's got to get better under Cliff Kingsbury because it's an offensive-minded coach. And think about it. This isn't the reason why you pick Nick Bosa, but you're going to totally screw a division rival if you do. And that's nice, too.
Sure.
You're going to.
Because you know that they're going to take him.
You're going to. Now, maybe that puts San Francisco in a position to be able to make some kind of a home run deal with some team that wants to move up to Kyler Murray. By the way, did you see that Aaron Taylor wasn't the only one?
I heard there was another one.
It was Willie McGinnis of the NFL Network who there was a piece they
People
had
are on, out of their mind.
There was a piece they had on NFL.com. How many quarter that and it was titled "How many quarterbacks do you think will go in the first round?" And McGinnis said, "I really believe that if Kyler Murray doesn't go number one overall, he's not going to go in the first round."
I'm like, oh my God, these people are insane.
Come on, Willie,
like, you're insane.
Come on, Willie. It was bad enough when Aaron was rolling that out there. Come on, Willie. He's going in the first round.
Just say he's going back to baseball because what he's going to get in the second round compared to what he get at baseball. You know what? I'll take the $19 million from the A's.
Seriously,
I'll take the extra $14 million. I'll just take the $19 million. I'm going to go play baseball.
Steve Keim did address the Nick Bosa injury history when he spoke about him at that press conference a couple of days ago.
I mean, I think that's a part of the puzzle that you have to look at. I would obviously because I'm not a doctor. Although I may look like one, you got to rely on your medical people, your trainers, your team doctors, to basically give you an indication if those warning signs are an issue or if that's something that was a freak accident, and that's a case by case situation.
Doesn't look like any doctor I've ever had in my life, but
no. He walks into the room, you'd be like,
"Man, you're
kind of another doctor."
Somebody with a little more delicate touch, please.
Yeah,
you look like you're going to hurt me.
Yeah.
I'm not here to get hurt, Dr. Keim. Just take it easy on me. Will you send in somebody with a lighter touch, please?
I like this in the Sports Illustrated piece, the Monday morning. I think it was a Monday morning quarterback piece. Whatever the Sports Illustrated
article. Yeah,
the Sports Illustrated article. John Bosa, the dad, said everything has evolved since I played, but this is even more involved. Guys like my sons are playing defensive end and training more like sprinters. It's not powerlifting. It's not putting 700 pounds on your back and squatting. It's a very different philosophy. It's based on performance and flexibility. And that's, you know, that's these pass rushers. I mean, they're just so fast and so explosive and so strong. It's a combination that, yeah, Nick Bosa would be a boring pick, but I think a lot of people would understand that that's a really good pick that the Cardinals made.
So we've got the Burns and Gambo podcast, and here's what you can do. Subscribe on your iPhone and your Android, and then you can listen to the show whenever you want. We'll just digitally deliver it
wherever
to you every day at the gym when you're bugging Gambo about what the Cardinals are going to do at number one. You can be listening to the show. The Burns and Gambo podcast brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealer. The saying goes, defense wins championship. But in today's NFL, you better have an exciting offense if you want to be on national TV. That was very clear after yesterday, and we'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
With the release of the schedule yesterday, and I heard the fellows talking about it in the midday, Bickley, Murata, talking about the three different Josh Rosen videos, the Sports Illustrated one in which he talked for the first time about the possibility of not being here next year, and then the two videos released by the Cardinals, one that didn't have Josh Rosen in it, then everyone got into a fuss about it, then the one that did have Josh Rosen in it, to kind of calm everybody down. That all of that kind of took everybody's attention away from the schedule release. Now, we had it on our show yesterday, so for us it wasn't an issue. But for a lot of these shows today, it was their first opportunity to react to the NFL schedule coming out. And it quickly became a very secondary story to why is Josh Rosen not in the video? And what did Josh Rosen say to Sports Illustrated? And what does he mean when he says this? And what does he mean when he says that? But the schedule release is still a very big deal. And I got this off of Vinny Murata's Twitter account. He retweeted something from Paul Kaharsky, who I believe covers the Titans. He's a verified guy on Twitter. He's a longtime NFL writer. Listen to this. As it relates to the schedule, Cardinals were 32nd in 2018 passing offense. They have one primetime game. The Bills were 31st in 2018 passing offense. No primetime games. The Dolphins were 30th in 2018 passing offense. One primetime game. The Titans, despite the fact they won nine games last year, were 29th in passing offense, and they only have one primetime game.
So the Cardinals, the Bills, the Dolphins, and the Titans have combined for three primetime games.
Yes.
32nd, 31st, 30th, and 29th. The four worst passing offensive teams combined for three primetime games.
Yep.
And the Bills have none.
The Bills have none.
Zero.
Translation, if you were boring, we don't want to put you in primetime.
Yeah. We're not looking for a 13-10 football game.
Nope.
We want offense.
Yep.
We want points.
Yep.
We want fantasy football people watching until the end of the fourth quarter.
Yep. Brother, you just struck gold right there. Yes.
Speaking of that, Hot Rod Lakin, I won the fantasy football championship like 4 months ago.
Wow, you still haven't gotten compensated for that?
Nothing. Zero. Zilch.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
What, do you have to beg?
I mean, this is ridiculous.
Seriously, you have to go to our executive producer and beg?
I might petition outside. I'm not coming in until I get my gift certificate. For a nice steak dinner, better be at least $200, too.
You know when those unions go on strike outside of businesses?
Yeah, no, I'm going to strike outside.
I think Gambo should have a sign.
Right
shame
outside.
On Rod Lakin.
Shame on Rod Lakin. Shame, shame, shame. Rod Lakin, right outside his window. I know where he's right outside his window. I'm going to pick it. Hey, January, February, March, April, 4 months. I won the damn fantasy football thing. I get Stugatz for it. Stugatz.
Shame.
Go take the company credit card and go buy me a $200 gift certificate to a nice steakhouse. Let's be done with this.
Let's go. Come on, while we're young. Huh? Let's go.
You know, I still have a hit.
You should pick it. Yes. With all the actual issues going on in the world, yes, you should strike for your right to get your $200 steakhouse gift card.
I earned that.
In a world filled with poverty and hunger and homelessness.
Oh, don't put that on me. Don't put that on my lap. I won the damn thing fair and square.
Don't put that on me. In a world filled with actual problems, yes, you should go strike to get your Steak 44 gift card because you won fantasy football
around
here.
You're damn right I did. This doesn't have to do with anything else that's going on in the world. I want what's coming to me. That's mine. I want it fair and square.
You're the best. You really are. I've said it before. I say again, you're a national treasure.
Let's talk about this schedule.
Let's talk about this schedule. He's exactly right.
You got to have offenses. I mean, no primetime games. I mean, it's just no offense, no primetime. I mean, if you don't have a good offense, it's going to put up some points. They're not going to put you on primetime. That's the lesson in this whole schedule thing. Cardinals, Bills, Dolphins. Now, the Cardinals could change. I mean, with the dynamics of Kyler Murray, if they draft him, and sure, these other teams can change as well. But right now, they're looking at these offenses and saying, yeah, you know, we want our primetime ratings to be good, and putting a team that's going to put up 13 or 16 points is not what we want.
Look at the teams that have five primetime appearances, and they're the stars. Packers, Bears, Steelers, Patriots, Cowboys, Chiefs, Rams, Vikings, Eagles, Seahawks. They all have five.
Yeah, but the Steelers don't have Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell anymore. Not that they had Bell last year.
But don't they still...
They got Ben.
All right, that's fair.
They don't have...
I don't know if they have the same sizzle that they do when it was the Killer Bees, the Three Bees, whatever we call them. Yeah, you're right. Okay, they of all those teams, and to be honest with you, the other team that might not belong on that list, at least from an offensive wow standpoint, the Seahawks. Wasn't that a career low in passing attempts for Russell Wilson last year?
I think he had a career high in passing touchdowns, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, but that was...
lot of touchdown passes.
I thought that was more of a run-centric offense last year than maybe in
years
past. I'm
going to guess 32 touchdown passes. I'm wrong, 35 touchdown
35
passes.
35 touchdowns, but I think that was a career low in passing attempts for him.
Okay, that's more than two touchdown passes a game.
I know, but he just didn't throw the ball as much as he used to. He might have still had the touchdown passes, but he didn't throw the ball as much.
Yeah, okay, but yeah, I mean, you're right. They
was it a career low for him?
427 attempts.
I think that was
not a career low. Wasn't a career low. First year 393, second year 407. It's the third lowest total.
Okay,
and his lowest since 2013. But his completion percentage was pretty high. He still threw for almost 3,500 yards, and he threw 35 touchdown passes.
Couple other schedule leftovers. We talk about primetime games. Were you upset the Browns got four? I couldn't tell.
I mean,
you seemed bothered that the Browns got four primetime games. Do you? I mean, I get that. Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, Baker Mayfield.
I mean, not really. I think, but you're projecting. You're really projecting that they're going to be good. You are. And you know what? They probably have, like, I mean, the Browns have been so bad for so long, and it is a great football team. I mean, the history, the tradition, the fan base, the dog pound. I mean, you know, I do in some ways understand it by adding Odell Beckham Jr. with Baker Mayfield in his second year, that, you know, Freddie Kitchens in that offense, that they're going to be awfully good. Like, they, you know, I might even pick them to win that division over Baltimore and Pittsburgh. I really might. And they're probably projecting ahead and thinking that that's going to be a good team to have on primetime TV.
No team has appeared in fewer primetime games over the last 10 seasons
than the Browns.
The Cleveland Browns.
Yeah,
have.
Because they were winning zero games some years. I mean, it was terrible.
Dave Pasch was on Doug and Wolf this morning. He expressed a little surprise the Cardinals didn't have a few more Monday night games.
I'm surprised that there wasn't a Monday night football game earlier in the year. I believe the Jets opened on Monday night last year, and I think Sam Darnold threw a pick six, and maybe because of the struggles for a rookie quarterback early on, they didn't want to showcase him. You know, the NBA last year, the first game on ESPN, which I did, was the Suns-Mavericks.
That's
it was
right.
Aiden against Doncic to start the year. But I think the NBA is a little different in that regard. If you're starting a rookie quarterback, I don't know if you want to have him early on.
But to his point, I mean, if you do draft Kyler Murray number one, you would have thought there would have been a little more...
But they don't know.
Primetime sizzle, and maybe...
You don't know.
They
could flex them at some point. We've talked about maybe the Browns game being flexed at some point.
Yeah.
But that would give the Browns another primetime game.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like, the Cardinals probably got the worst primetime game. It's on Halloween.
Oh,
It's like on Halloween.
It's buried. That's as I think, this is just my opinion, I think that's as close as you can get to burying a primetime game.
Halloween.
Is to put it on the Thursday night that's also Halloween.
Right.
I mean, that's, you know, where do we put that?
Your options are you take your kid to the game and you give him a little bag and you go up and down the aisles and you have people just put money in the thing.
Well,
hey, listen, your kid's going to go trick or treating up and down every aisle and just get a bunch of quarters and nickels and dimes and dollars and no candy. Or maybe we get some popcorn.
Well, or even better, set up trick or treating on the Great Lawn for like tailgating, right? So bring your kids to the game, right?
Yeah.
But where every tailgater is, right? Where everyone's got their set up, go trick or treating on
the
Great Lawn.
Or like I said, you could just say, you know what, my kid's nine. You're old enough. Go. See you in an hour. Just, you know how to get home? I'm going to watch the game. Here's the address, just in case.
Just go
around the block a couple of times.
Put it on your Google Maps, just in case you get lost. Yeah, we'll be here watching the game. Thank you very much.
Yeah. You have a cell phone. You're nine. If you get lost, just call. Don't all kids have a cell phone at nine? Yeah, we're good.
About this time of year, they
just
do.
Just call.
For the first time this offseason, Josh Rosen is speaking out. Do his comments provide any kind of clue into what his future might hold? We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.